Lamar.
The government is corrupt. To fix this, politicians would like to grow its size and control. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. Then we had 300, you could learn that. Then you have 300 years of the industrial society. You put the piece of metal on the lathe, you turn the crank and the direction of the arrow, and you can have a job. And we created a lot of jobs. 1.98% of the world worked in agriculture. Today it's 2% in the United States. Now comes the information economy. And the information economy is fundamentally different because it's built around replacing people with technology. And the skill sets that you have to learn are how to think and analyze. And that is a whole degree level different. You have to have a different skill set. You have to have a lot more gray matter.
What an idiot!
Oh, Bloomberg. He never gets old. I don't know who's going to be the more interesting sound bites of this election year. Bloomberg and his idiocy or Biden. It's a toss-up. It truly is. Bernie's just irritating, but I don't know who's going to be the most interesting in sound bites to play.
It's hard to say because there's a whole level of degree difference between the two.
A whole level of degree.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's farming so easy. Did you tell that to all the farmers? Farming's so simple. Put a seed in the ground and water it. Okay. All right. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Have you been offended yet, most of America? I just wondered, because he just said it takes a lot more gray matter, a lot more brain to be in the information age today. What, to be on Wall Street, to be in the information age, to think and analyze? See, we never had to think and analyze before. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You didn't know that, but yes, yes, you
well,
total idiots in America.
Odd person here and there that did, but...
Oh. I'll tell you what, if I had a problem, I'd go to a rancher or farmer any day of the week. Usually they're the ones with common sense to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I just can't believe the idiotic statements that come out of these people that are so far removed from reality. And here they want to be president of the United States. Oh my gosh.
Well, according to what he said, he thinks that anytime you put a seed in the ground, up comes corn.
Oh, well, you know, it's really simple. I'm going to go do that. So simple. You simpletons out there with the low IQs, meaning most of America and what you do in those jobs that require nothing. You factory workers, you farmers that don't require any analysis whatsoever. I'd love to know where he thinks that the entrepreneurs come from, where he thinks the people with the inventions come from, because a lot of them came from the very industries that he just insulted.
They're invented by the franchise industry.
Thanks, Uncle Milty. Well, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Hopefully you're hitting the podcast recorded versions of this live show that you're listening to right now. I hope you are. And Illinois, I'd love to know what you feel about or how you feel about the pardons, about looking to commute Blago's sentence. I'd love to hear you weigh in on that one. 888-673-1450. What did you think? You know, we knew some pardons were coming, and I always think it's more interesting to see who Trump will pardon. I mean, Obama, we knew who he was going to pardon,
yeah.
and he didn't surprise us, let's just say that, but it was sickening. But I would love to see your take on how you felt about did he try to sell the Senate seat, and was he was that conviction right, and should he be... what's the word? Pardoned.
Well, Blagojevich, he just had his sentence commuted.
Yeah.
The eight years he served
commuted.
Is good enough.
Sure.
Which is, I think that's okay. A pardon means you never actually did it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's like
different.
Exonerating.
Yeah.
Yes. But you know what, though? As the Post says, Hillary is our most exonerated politician ever.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and I believe them. Hillary. Hillary, of all people. Yeah. Anyway, I just got shuddered. Okay. So, President Trump. So, CNN is just, I mean, they're so angry. They're so angry about this, about any pardon, I think, or commuting of sentence that Trump would come up with at this point. But CNN was all over the place with this. And of course, it was a 14-year sentence for pay-for-play charges. It's so funny to me because even the governor of my own state was doing a pay-for-play. And it was, if you could pony up 25 grand, you could, you know, you could get some time with me. That's a pay-for-play.
Yep.
That's influence. That's buying influence. Yet he didn't get any charges.
On the other hand,
what's
do you
that?
Realize how stupid somebody has to be to pay $25,000 to sit with that guy?
Sit with any governor at this point. Yeah. And in Illinois, you know, of course, a Democrat served 8 years of a 14-year sentence for this pay-for-play charges for the Senate seat. I would just love to know how you feel about it. 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. Trump was saying that he didn't know him, didn't have a relationship with him, but felt like 8 years was long enough. I would think 8 years was long enough for that. I mean, my gosh, even at 8 years, you're doing more than rape.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in a lot of states. So, you know, I think sometimes these kind of, well, let's put it this way. Anybody that likes Trump gets thrown into jail for at least 8 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you're doing anything else, if you're lying about Ukraine or you're committing some other kind of crime, if you belong to the right kind of party in America, you get to go scot-free. You don't even get the media talking about you. You don't even get charges, nothing. But if you're like a Roger Stone, right, and they can say you lied, you lied, then of course, you're going to get the book thrown at you at what, 9 years? And so what's happening on that case? I know that the judge is going to sentence on Thursday. From what we understand right now, this was published today. In fact, the judge will sentence Roger Stone on Thursday, but will postpone punishment pending bid for the new trial. So not quite sure how that's going to work. I need to replay my Roger Stone interview is what I need to do at some point here.
You know, when I was a kid, they always talked about crime doesn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
Crime doesn't pay. But now it kind of almost, do you know, first of all, if you armed robbery of a bank,
mm-hmm.
bank robbery, you only have it's like a 50-50 chance of getting caught, number one.
Right.
And then you can get the minimum sentence of only 2 years.
Hmm.
So if you can get into a bank and get a large enough amount of money out there that mm-hmm. two or 3 years in prison mm-hmm. gets you a pretty good income. You know?
Wow. Okay.
Crime pays. That's
crime
my point.
Pays.
Crime pays today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
It's still crime. And if you get caught and convicted, you're going to prison.
Yeah.
But you can live the high life for a few years.
Remember when they were propping up Avenatti as the guy going after Trump and he was proving this left and right. And of course, he's off to prison. Yes, he's off to prison.
Yeah.
multiple things. What I find kind of interesting in the Stone case, in the Roger Stone case, is that nobody really knows what he's being accused of. Like, they always talk about his multiple charges. They always talk about him lying. But it's kind of funny how if you ask somebody on the street, they would not know what in the world he was being charged with. It's kind of interesting, actually. I mean, it's bizarre. Usually, you know. Usually, if it's a high-profile case like this, usually somebody can spell it out pretty quickly, but not on this one. It's kind of funny. And of course, I do think this is a witch hunt. And I think it has been since the beginning, especially with somebody like Roger Stone. Give me a break. Give me a break. You know, I can see Manafort because I think that he has done and participated in a lot of things within a lengthy, lengthy career with other leaders from other countries and so forth. There's always been a lot of ammo on Manafort. But Stone, really? Anyway, just kind of bizarre. So that's all going down.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily understand why some of those laws exist anyway. Why Why is it that you have to disclose that you do business with foreign countries to our government?
Right? Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that do that don't.
Yeah. And what's funny is if you are a congressperson and your role is not to go meet really with anyone from a foreign country, why are they?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are they? And why aren't they under scrutiny for that? How are they getting away with that?
Well, the simple fact is that our laws are designed to protect people, not to protect the people that are doing the bad stuff.
Yeah.
It really seems that way.
Right. It's kind of interesting, a lot of things that aren't in the news right now, like Venezuela and a lot of different places. Huh. Kind of interesting, I thought. I mean, it's interesting how our news, our media likes to tell the stories it likes to tell, but it stays away.
Well, with Bernie leading the polls, they don't want to be talking about Venezuela too much.
Oh, gosh. If you had to listen to that voice, I know I feel the same way. I don't think I could. I don't think I could for 48 years. But you know what? The deep state doesn't want him. And I say that in all seriousness. They really don't. And so they're propping up everyone that they can scour from the bottom of the pack. Petey Boy, you've got Bloomberg and his idiocy. You've even got Biden and his idiocy. They're the ones being propped up. Warren, too, to a certain degree. But I don't know if they could try to sell Warren.
No, she's hard to sell.
I don't know that they could sell anybody at this point. But I always think it's funny that they make the case that they can. That they actually can. So when they're saying he wins this state or wins that state, and they don't even talk about the numbers, really, because they can't, mm-hmm. because it would make it look like it really wasn't much of a win, that kind of thing.
Well, Elizabeth Warren's hard to sell because you can't pin down exactly what she is.
Yeah. And of course, Bloomberg, I actually want him to keep talking. Because the more he keeps putting down industries and Americans and tells them that they don't have enough gray matter and that they're not thinking enough if they don't reside, what, in New York City, then I actually think that bodes well for his campaign. And I actually think that he'll be run off soon enough. But they are really pushing him. And like you were saying when you walked in today, it doesn't matter if he spent $2 billion on this campaign. He wouldn't get it.
No, he can't. You'll know who he is,
yeah.
But you won't vote for him.
Exactly. I just wish we would really start concentrating more on Congress than we ever do the presidency.
Well, exactly. And that's the other thing they do. With all of this nonsense that's going on, everybody's focusing, again, on the presidential election. It's pretty much a guaranteed thing that Trump's going to win.
Yeah.
So let's pay attention to the important stuff.
Congress. They're always the most important branch. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature. Changing.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, guess you see.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I've got Uncle Milty with me today. And how's your Tuesday working out for you? Ours is great so far. In fact, there's a lot to talk about today. There always is. Of course, you know, we had to bring up Bloomberg and his insulting of basically everybody, and telling us only the tech are smart and everybody else doesn't need as much gray matter to exist. I always love to hear that from Bloomberg. I would have actually expected that comment from Biden more so than Bloomberg, but okie dokie. I played that in the beginning. Welcome back to the show. Did you know that you could find us on Facebook and Twitter, The Kate Daly Show on Facebook? In fact, Dr. Pesta, our guest on Mondays, his show plays right after we get off the air. And you can actually do that right on Facebook. His show plays live right on Facebook on the Kate Daly Show page. Also on Twitter, The Kate Daly Show, and of course, Balance of Nature. Make sure you're taking this supplement. Right now, of course, as we're talking about coronavirus and everything else we've got going on in America, not really going on in America, going on over in China, but we keep talking about it over here in America. We do need to shore up our immune systems regardless, and make sure that you're doing that with Balance of Nature. It really is a fantastic supplement. My husband loves it. I love it. And let me tell you, it's the fruits and vegetables. In fact, my son was just taking it the other morning because he's on a new workout program and he knows that fruits and vegetables are so necessary. And so make sure that you're taking this. This is 10 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day of clean fruits and vegetables with no chemicals, nothing on them. They get the best of the best ingredients that you're absolutely going to score for yourself for a very, very low price. You could never buy all those fruits and vegetables. And this is affordable. You can actually get 35% off and free shipping right now. They got a tremendous deal going if you put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E, K-A-T-E. Use my name, and as a listener to the show, get 35% off free shipping. It's an amazing deal. Balanceofnature.com. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kate.
Hi there.
And,
hi.
Wanted to comment on, you were talking about Bloomberg.
Oh, yes. Yes. Bloomberg.
I mean, gag me with a spoon, but anyway. It's also the same guy that's been quoted as saying that if he becomes elected, that he will consider all hate speech domestic terrorism.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yeah, and they had a wide hole you could drive a truck through.
Yeah, they usually are with these guys. Usually what they're creating, their America, geez, it looks very, communist? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing for people to consider, too. I mean, and of course, you know, I go back to the whole issue, define hate speech. You know, this, in fact, I've said from the beginning, the whole idea of this concept of hate speech was just something, just another thing, as if we need anything else to charge somebody with, where in reality, we already have laws that would take care of anything that would harm somebody else, such as murder or robbery or whatever. We have laws on the books for that. So now what we're going to do is, just because you say something that somebody can deem offensive, then I guess we're going to consider you a domestic terrorist under him, and you wind up stuffed in some gulag somewhere.
There you go. Jeez. Thank you. Really appreciate
that.
That's
all I got.
Thanks.
Apparently, he's never heard that the more laws you have, the better.
Oh, man. There was an article about socialism that it kind of struck me a little bit because, you know, we talk to Pesta all the time, and Pesta is one of the very, very few conservatives. And this was on the heels, I have to say, and I will get to this right after, is an article talking about Harvard and Yale, and they're under investigation for $375 million in secret funding from China. Yeah, in Saudi Arabia. And so, I know, right? Surprise? Not really. Really? I mean, if you really think about it, is that a big surprise to us? And so there was an article about a professor who said driving down a long highway, a long road in Texas, a very lonely road in Texas, sort of helped him kind of figure out about socialism. He was talking about the fact that youth support socialism, and that was measured up at 51% of our youth. That's a really scary, scary number.
Yeah.
And given the college, activist environment, can you imagine how these kids are going to step away from socialism or inviting it in or having this idea that it's somehow a good thing? And so, as an undergraduate, this gentleman embraced socialism after being convinced that the future was firmly on the side of science, liberalism, and equalitarianism, which is basically what Bloomberg was talking about, right? He's saying you have to have more gray matter to be in these things than you do, you know, some person that works on a factory line or a farmer. And so basically, he transitioned from this sort of youthful embrace of socialism and into a more cautious, ever more convinced appreciation of being a conservative, capitalism, understanding a little bit more. In other words, pulling his head out of the sand, which is great to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so his self-described conversion came from liberalism, commenced with this association as a Vanderbilt graduate student with the Nashville Agrarians. And in 1930, the Nashville Circle had published I'll Take My Stand, a collection of these 12 essays, Southern agrarian tradition against the Northern industrial way of life. And so on completion of the master's degree in 1934, he admittedly grew fond of his agrarian mentors, and he was reluctant to embrace their particular sort of conservative vision. And he said it was a slow transition up from liberalism, and it was not until he was teaching at Texas A&M University as a professor a few years later. And he finally made this conscious decision to reject the socialism and liberalism of his younger days. And then it was described how he was driving down a Texas highway and pondering this position at Texas A&M, and he suddenly realized, I do not have to go back to this job, which had become distasteful in his view, and that I did not have to go on professing the cliches of liberalism, which were becoming meaningless to me. I saw that my opinions had formed out of a timorous regard for what was supposed to be intellectually respectable. See, supposed to be intellectually mm-hmm. respectable. And that I had always been looking over my shoulder to find out what certain others, whose concern with the truth I was beginning to believe to be not very intense, were doing or thinking. It is a great experience to wake up at a critical juncture to the fact that one does have a free will, and that giving up the worship of false idols in a quite practical proceeding. So given this imbalanced political views, given these among these college professors, and then you have groupthink that takes place on campus, it's hard to see what today's, you know, college instructors, it's hard to see them even making that kind of transition away from socialism, isn't it?
Yeah, very
hard. To be that introspective and to say, you know, hey, am I really examining this? I mean, what am I teaching here? And so the professor's fear of failing to conform to what is supposed to be intellectually respectable is reinforced by their so-called woke students. It's true. And a new event of fanatical political correctness on college campus seems to occur every single other week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Students demanding changes to curriculum, signs, you know, buildings and free speech zones and all those kinds of things.
Well, that's the thing again. It seems as though the leftists are always mm-hmm. extremely radical and demanding.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid to yell and scream and demand what they want. So, again, a minority of students appears to be a majority and gets their way.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is coming from a book. The Nashville Circle had published I'll Take My Stand, and that was 12 essays that this was written in. And I think it's a really great, to me, it just speaks of the fact that how many take a long car drive and ever really think through anything. We get used to the groupthink. We get used to spinning out, you know, stuff. Bloomberg would do well with a long car ride through America. You know what I'd love to see him do? I'd love to see him present a problem to a group of farmers and ranchers and then a group of your little tech wizards that have never, ever left the basement. I would like to see him give a problem to both groups. I would like to see him take a long trip down America's highways to really think about the stuff he's spewing, because I think he's been holed up in New York City a little too long on his little bed of lies that he lays on every night with his Bloomberg media and his Bloomberg everything. Talk about an oligarch. Talk about somebody that loves to have the kind of influence that he has. How dare he even call Trump that? How dare he even do that? He's been spinning his influence for years and years and years and using his money to do it. And now he comes out with these incredibly idiotic statements, insulting statements about who has more gray matter in America. And he thinks he has a lot of gray matter. Wow.
He's so extremely wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that.
Uh-huh.
And he says the weirdest stuff. But when you talk about things like ending student loan debt.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wealthy enough to be able to do that himself.
Right.
He doesn't have enough money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He could end the homeless problem overnight.
Mm-hmm.
By himself.
Sure, sure.
He doesn't.
No,
they
he
never
doesn't.
Do.
He doesn't.
But student loan debt is over almost a trillion and a half dollars.
Yeah.
He can't even come close to doing
Didn't you love Elizabeth Warren's face when that father went to her and said,
yes.
Are you kidding me? I forwent vacations because I had to pay student loans. And you're telling me you're not going to help me. You're just going to help everybody else that doesn't want to pay them. And she couldn't come up with an answer. She was a deer in the headlights. They don't have any idea how they're going to pay for any of this, except off the backs of all of you.
Well, it really is unfair because mm-hmm. I know my oldest son just recently, mm-hmm. in the last few years, got done paying off his student loans.
Right.
But he paid them. And now, a couple of years later, they're talking about wiping out everybody else's student loan.
Yeah.
Excuse me? How is that fair?
Mm-hmm. You know, it was funny, too. I also wanted to say the slow transition up from liberalism. It's the only direction you can go,
yeah.
is up from liberalism. Liberalism is the lowest form of thinking. There is no other form of thinking that competes with it because it's that low on the totem pole for not having to have much gray matter to think about. It's amazing to me when they are providing the so-called solutions that they are without any remedies that would enhance freedom for anybody or anything even adjacent to it. Nothing. It is the lowest common denominator of think.
Well, if you really look hard, they don't propose solutions for anything.
No, they don't.
Because the solutions they propose are not possible to do.
Yeah.
It isn't. I mean, it isn't mathematically possible.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So that's not a solution.
Yep. And as sad as that is, and I know what you're thinking, I love that they said up from liberalism. I just want to say that. When Weaver decided to take that road, a long journey, and decide, hey, wait a minute, what am I teaching? What am I doing? It doesn't even make sense to me anymore. Boy, I want everybody to have that epiphany. Especially in the college circuit, because that's what's doing the most damage. That's why we're producing 51% youth that will embrace socialism. The teachers embrace it. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
You study them hard and hoping to pay. Fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell.
Hi there, welcome back to Kate Daly Show. Little Chuck Berry for you. School Days by Chuck Berry. Welcome back. I've got Uncle Milty with me. We were just talking about Harvard and Yale, and Betsy DeVos is now saying they might do an investigation now on $375 million worth of gifts from China and Saudi Arabia into Harvard. And Harvard does have a curiously high rate of acceptance for these students coming over with visas. You know, I think people would be surprised to know that we almost take in about 400,000 Chinese students on visas every mm-hmm. year here in the United States. Not to mention every single country's, their leaders, their kids. Their kids get to come over here and come to school
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. I always find that to be great. So anyway, so this money, that was kind of interesting that they're going to finally do an investigation on this. It's been going on for a long time, but they failed to disclose $375 million in gifts from China.
Now, what would cause them to not disclose a gift?
Yeah. Anyway, strings attached. And so, of course, you know, there's been some instances like Harvard sponsoring a 30-year-old Chinese national who attempted to steal research. I wonder if that's the first time that's ever happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
I'm going to go with no. And basically how they're just really trying to finally finally look into this. There was also the recent arrest of the Chinese national. He was arrested for the stolen 21 vials of cancer research material he was attempting to smuggle into China. Prosecutors were alleging that he attempted to steal the material to bring to China so he could conduct his own research to the laboratory. Anyway.
So he meant well.
Yeah, and he lied about his ties to the Chinese government's Thousand Talents plan. And in addition to his arrest, the guy that lied about the Thousand Talents plan, I should say, is Charles Lieber, chairman of the Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology at Harvard. So that's kind of interesting because that just happened a couple of weeks ago. We seem to have a lot of that happening, but not a lot is happening about it. So I do find that kind of interesting. Charles Lieber, by the way, just to let you all know, he's chair of Harvard's University's Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology. He was lying to the Department of Defense about secret monthly payments of $50,000 paid by China and receipt of millions more to set up a chemical biology research lab in China. Also arrested were two Chinese students working at as research assistants, one of whom was actually a lieutenant in the Chinese Army. The other captured at the Logan Airport, like I just said, and tried to catch a flight to China, smuggling 21 vials of sensitive biological samples. And then the research lab that the good professor helped set up, the one from Harvard, the one that there's an investigation, which I think is more of a cover for trying to figure out what the heck just happened. But the research lab was set up at Wuhan University of Technology. Wuhan, China, ground zero to the potentially global pandemic that we keep talking about, right? So I thought that was kind of interesting. It does sound like a spy novel, but that is Charles Lieber from Harvard University Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology getting secret payments of $50,000 a month paid by China to help set up a chemical biological research lab in China. You would think that there would be a little more scrutiny on people like this to do something like that. Especially with all the talk about coronavirus in the last month. But I did think that was kind of interesting. So.
Yeah. But if you're a globalist, that's no big deal.
No, globals are like, that's yesterday's news.
We need to share all this.
Well, and Charles Lieber, wow. I wish we had an investigation, not on Monica Lewinsky, but on the Clinton ties and what they sold to China. If we really knew all that they sold to China to get the money for their party, that would be a very, very interesting investigation. Mm-hmm. Because so many things, I think, at that point in time in the 90s, sparked what we're dealing with today. And I really do wish that we would know more. But of course, the whole thing was centered on Monica Lewinsky as the cover project. And they didn't want Americans to know how treasonous they truly were, the Clintons, in selling tech secrets to China. There was some reference to it during the time. You can find a handful of headlines about it over the course of time, but it was not made to be what it should have been. And that was headline treason when you're selling secrets for cash. So that's why whenever I see something like a Roger Stone, he lied to the government, I'm going, we have treasonous acts taking place all the time in government and nobody bats an eye. And they do go after who they want to. They do cherry pick that. And it does make me want to vomit. It makes me so ill. Two things. South Dakota presenting a bill against mandatory vaccines, and Oklahoma wanting to revoke doctors' licenses for abortions. There's some states really trying right now.
They're trying,
and I have to give them some props for that. I think that's great, and I'm really happy to see some of those things take place. I think they really do sort of, and let's hope, right? Let's hope people go, oh, wait a minute, what? You can do that? Your state can actually set itself apart and so it really can. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that there are states really trying to really make a difference out there and trying to do something for their citizens. And I like that Oklahoma's trying anyway to do that. By the way, we were just talking about this before this hour began, but the homeless in California is half of the homeless in the United States reside in one state, half in Amazing. California. Yeah, I know. We have about, what, 500,000 homeless?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 500,000 homeless.
Not so.
It's really not as many as people think it is.
No, because we hear all the time how bad it is.
You know,
and they
yes.
show you a two-block section of San Francisco with tents in it.
Isn't that the
but,
truth?
But when you think about the population of the country mm-hmm. and the fact that only 500,000 people live that way,
mm-hmm.
most of whom have mental illness or yeah. drug addiction issues,
right.
it's really not a big problem.
No, it's not, actually. It just is in California because half of them are there.
Yeah.
So they're turning four of those cities into feces bins. Anyway, Obama taking credit. Obama taking credit for this economy. I know. I'm with you. I'm laughing because he spent his whole presidency blaming everybody else for the economy, and now he's trying to take credit for this economy with almost 4 years out. That's kind of amazing when you think about the cojones it takes yeah. to do that. Who would do that?
Obama
would. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Yeah, by the way, I just have to mention this because I do want to play a clip. But Bloomberg, I want to go back to Bloomberg for just a moment, if you'll indulge me here. Bloomberg was talking about, this is from a transcript from Business and Politics. And he said, if you show up with prostate cancer, you're 95 years old. We should just go ahead and enjoy that you've lived a long life. But there is no cure. We can't do anything. So if you're a young person, we should do something about it. I can't believe anyone would vote for this guy.
What a load that takes off of my mind.
Well, I yes, know that you're just too old to help.
Yeah, I don't have to worry anymore. I know what's going to happen.
Right,
if
right.
I get a serious illness, they're just going to let me die.
Oh, my gosh. Euthanasia should be legally painless, is the benevolent view of one Bloomberg writer. Transforming the culture of dying, the work on the project of death in America, David Clark's book, clearly explains how the Soros scholars are strategically placed in medical centers, able to define and build and then bring to maturity this new field of medicine in record time, and its euthanasia should be legally painless. So I just wanted you to know, not only does he think you're a complete idiot and tool if you're a farmer, or if you work on a factory, or if you build something, or you manufacture anything, you're a complete tool in Bloomberg's mind. He also is for the fact that he can kick you to the curb at a ripe old age. And basically, he's telling you to enjoy your life because, honey, you've had a good one. So don't let anything stand in your way. Let's just get rid of you now. Boy, he sounds like a perfect candidate for president.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, a man of the people.
A man of the people. Only the healthy people. The healthy people that live in the tech world. So if you'll indulge me, can I just play a clip for you? What? Go ahead.
Well, you have to give him a little credit for being honest, because all of the plans by all of the Democratic candidates would involve a decreased level of health care for everybody.
In the socialized medicine of
yeah.
today?
In any of those programs, mm-hmm. the elderly would be the first
yes.
to go.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Got to think about your socialized medicine. Got to think about it in practical terms, right? Yeah. Let's
yep.
just get rid of all of you. I mean, you don't matter.
It's the easiest way.
You don't even have very much gray matter, according to Bloomberg. You don't,
well,
you're not very bright.
If you're over 65 right now, just sit down and think, what did you do today that was so important?
Thanks. Thanks for that. Yeah. So can I just play for you Paul Harvey's So God Made a Farmer? Because
yeah.
I would just really like to give a big
okay.
salute to you farmers and ranchers out there listening. Here you go. This is a gem.
Day. God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees the first smoke from a neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, and replenish the self-feeder, and finish a hard week's work with a five-mile drive to church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
That's a gem.
He made it sound a little more complex than Bloomberg said.
Yeah, Bloomberg said you just put it in the ground and it grows.
Yeah, drop a seed, cover it with dirt, add water, and you've got corn.
It's so easy. A simpleton can do it. Yeah, I love that clip. I hope that radio shows across the country are playing that today. I hope that people realize that, I think they know that Bloomberg's a special kind of crazy. I know that they think he is. When you're listening to him, your brain wants to explode. So I know you know he's nuts, and I'm glad. Most people do.
The DNC just wants his money. I don't think they're behind him at all.
Yeah.
They just want his money.
Yep. And so let him keep talking, because he'll just dig himself in that very hole that he thinks crops are planted in. And I, for one, I couldn't believe he actually said it. There's going to be a lot of gaffes. I know you were talking about when he talked about blacks and Latinos not being very good workers, right?
They don't understand how to behave in the workplace.
Oh my gosh. You know what? The guy is a tool, and it's okay. America sees it, and America will keep on seeing it. And really and truly, what a great gift that is. So I'm grateful that we get to keep seeing who he really is. It's awesome. And he's a piece of work. And thank you to all you ranchers and farmers. Thank you to all of you people that go out and do the hard work, do the heavy lifting. Thank you. And the smart work, too. You have to be so smart to be able to run a farm like that. I can't even tell you. Anyway, I just have deep respect. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.